Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I haven't seen the Alderman for a good while now.
Oh, it's
right?
Been a few weeks, hasn't it?
It's been a good few weeks. Obviously, his face and his body shape, and that enters my mind every now and then.
Yeah.
Obviously.
At night.
And I occasionally go to the website of the Teesside Evening Gazette to see if there's any new pictures of him doing his charity work or campaigning, like, on behalf of Dozy Kids.
Yeah.
So I'm at home with the wife last Tuesday. We're having one of our afternoon crime clubs, watching a
afternoon. Oh.
We shut the shutters and that. And
are you semi-retired now?
Yeah.
Right. Hence the afternoon crime club.
Afternoon crime club. Watching a documentary about a bloke who murdered his victim with door handles. But you would watch that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
As soon as we saw that on the blurb. You know, can you imagine saying, documentary about a bloke who murdered his victims with door handles?
Yeah.
I can't imagine him saying, no, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to watch that. Well, we're watching it anyway.
I don't know why I laughed.
Suddenly, there's a very, very robust... I'll see if I've got... I can recreate here. A very robust knock on the door. You know, ooh, you think police, bailiff, what? Yeah. You know, that it was that sort
I think bailiff.
Yeah, it had that sort of... it had that sort of authority. And it really gave us a bit of a shock. My cat, I was sat next to me, my cat spewed up. On my Giacomo catalogue, as soon as he heard, you know, we really, it was, so I answered the door and opened it up. It's the Alderman. He's got his charity minibus parked on my drive. And boy, Andy, he looked smart.
Did he?
Honestly, he has wool, not, I don't know what it is, like wool brown jacket.
Yeah.
Like milk chocolate colour. Silvery grey slacks, that like they're gently flared at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do they call it airline? Airline flare. Yeah. But still really tight round his thighs and his ass, you know? Really nice. Do you know the nice contours in that? And red shoes.
it's the look of a man from Teesside who's trying to impress, isn't it?
Yeah, trying to improve, I suppose, as you might say. So my heart obviously misses a beat.
Yeah.
I swallow a bit and whatever.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Hello, Robert. Long time no see. Long time no kiss, I'm thinking. Do you know what I mean? I didn't say that.
Get in.
Well, are you not going to invite me in? I said, oh, yeah, of course, Alderman. Lovely to see you. We're just watching a programme about Jake Litchie, you know, the door handle killer.
The door handle killer. It's a very nice choice.
So we get into the front room. Wife's turned off the telly because she's a bit embarrassed about having it on during the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do the introductions, and the wife says, can I get you anything to eat, Alderman? And he says,
yes, Margaret, thank you. I've got a long journey back to Stockton. Could I have a ham sandwich and a piece of fruit, please?
Of course, says the wife. And then he says,
hold on. What fruit have you got?
And she says, oh, I've got banana, pear, apple, orange. And he says,
do you have apricot, Margaret?
She says, no, I don't. And I said, well, I could go and get a pack from Waitrose. And he says,
well, no, you stay here, Robert. I need a chat about daft kids stuff. And I really do need an apricot.
So Margaret, my wife, says, oh, that's fine. I'll go and get them. And off she goes. As soon as she's gone,
he says, listen, Robert, I have a long journey ahead. As I said, could I have a quick shower?
I said, oh, yeah, of course you can, I understand, yeah. So I showed him where it was, let him get on with it. A couple of minutes later from upstairs, I hear,
Robert! Robert! Can you come and help me, please? Quick, Robert!
So I go up and I knock on the bathroom door.
Come in, Robert!
So in I go, and he stood there, naked in front of the window that like overlooks the drive. Now, he's about 17 stone, the Alderman,
yeah?
But his skin's still really taut, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really taut. It's a little bit red in a few patches because my
Mark, my wife always has a shower too hot.
Right.
So that's not his fault, you know, like... Now, because he's in front of the... It's because it's late afternoon, he's in front of the window, like, his shoulder hair is really, like, fluffed up, and it's, like, silhouetted in the light coming from the window. It's like a lovely patch of, like, a chamomile lawn or something that you just want to bury your head in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll pretend I do.
I need a towel, Robert, but the one you provided fell out of the window.
So I brush past, like, his body, and I look out the window, and sure enough, there's my towel. Yeah? But guess who's holding it? Guess who's holding the towel?
Is it the town clerk?
The fucking town clerk, yeah. And he's there with all his cronies, do you know what I mean?
The mob-handed.
Yeah, the vicar who thinks of bleach and the parks and recreations. And freaking Biffy's there. Biffy Clyro drawing on his face as well.
Interesting.
So they all start chanting, "Kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman." I think, yeah, I do want to.
He's naked, though.
Isn't that a line you can bet across? Well, so I turn to him, and he's already in position, staring at me with his mouth, like, wide open, as wide as you can get it, you know. So I open my mouth as wide as I can.
Oh, it's one of them.
Yeah, I slowly, slowly move towards him. And just as our lips are about to sort of couple, right?
He stops me, though, on
my shoulders. And his tongue starts darting round my mouth like a little juvenile snake. And then he gently puts my hand against the side of his thigh. And then he clamps his lips onto mine. You know, both our lips are quite wet. So our lips are like slipping round each other, sort of searching for a grip. Then he pulls back, and it's over, and it's over.
Thank you, Robert, that will be all.
Biffy, I think it was, threw the towel up, comes through the window, and I, like, heartbeat really quickly.
Yeah.
Go back to the lounge, think, wow.
What just happened there?
That was superb. Anyway, he left straight away before the wife got back. So, well, what can I say? There you go, I got a
kiss. Did you not get the apricot?
No, I got a kiss, and I got... to have the apricots with me crime club, which was a bonus because the wife won't
use
you.
Win-win-win-win-win-win for you, isn't it?
Yeah, she won't use you. Have apricots in the house, so
brilliant.
Apricots and crime, so...
She suspected nothing.
I tell you, it really felt like electric, though. Yeah. I hope I did it justice.
I hope so. I'm sure you did. I'm not sure where it goes from here, but it can only get worse.
I had a whole day to fill up in the northeast, took some photos and that and everything.
Yeah.
But I'd arranged with the town clerk to pop down to Stockton and do a charity Christmas dinner to raise money to buy a trampoline, actually, Andy. To buy a trampoline, actually, Andy, for the Daft and Dreary Kids charity.
Oh, bless them.
Yeah. Now, it was held quite a posh hotel just outside Stockton.
Yep.
I was sat top table with alderman, town clerk, vicar with the breath stinks of bleach, you know. Head of town planning, head of social services, and Biffy Clyro was there as well. So it's a good do, quality do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, the alderman looks he looked amazing, Andy, I ain't kidding. Instead of his usual blazer and slacks, right, he had a sort of country and western look going, yeah?
Mm.
He had like sky blue Pepe jeans with that little kick flare. He wore them quite short on the leg, though, to reveal his cherry red cowboy boots underneath.
Yeah.
And they were really figure-hugging round his arse. Honestly, I doubt you could have slipped a credit card in there, never mind your hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On top, he was wearing a tight cream round-neck cashmere jumper and a gold and green silk neckerchief. Fancy, innit?
Nice.
But a lovely touch was he had a bright gold Timex watch worn over the sleeve of his jumper.
That's a good move.
Innit, though? It's very striking. Anyway, so at the end of the meal, there was a bit of a show. Some of the daft kids did some tumbles and forward rolls, you know. Got that out of the way. Biffy Clyro got up and he painted, drew a nativity scene on his face with his pens, you know what I mean? The vicar with the bleach breath did some close-up magic, which was fucking torture.
Can I just stop you and go back to Biffy Clyro? Does he do this with the help of a mirror, or can he just do it freestyle?
No, he's not very good, but it's freestyle, yeah. Instinctive.
Hell. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, final piece, though, was a gospel choir, and I liked them, and they came on, and they're called the Daft Kids Singers.
Right.
Right? When they're performing in the charity. They're not Daft Kids at all, but they're proper pucker gospel singers, and they did some pop tunes. Do you know Slave to the Rhythm? Slave to the Rhythm.
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, yeah.
I do.
So what's the next bit? Slave to the Rhythm.
Slave to the Rhythm.
Oh, no, it's a different word. It goes Slave to the Rhythm.
To the Rhythm.
Dance to... It's not Slave again. Anyway, they did it, did that beautifully. And then they ended up with... gospel, though. It was Panic on the Streets of London.
Yep.
Birmingham, I wondered to... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Then I sensed, sort of sixth sense, something above my head. Something's happening above my head. And I look up and I see a big, massive clump of mistletoe being lowered from the ceiling by... he's up there by one of the, like, the most chimp-like of the Daft Kids. He's really, you know...
Agile. Climber.
A climber, yeah, clamberer. As it comes down, suddenly everybody's joined in and they stand up for the chorus, but they've changed it to kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss it. Oh, set up for me, kiss it, kiss the alderman, and blah, blah, blah.
So are they singing this at you?
Oh, they're swearing like gospel. Kiss the alderman.
What can you do? You're caught up in the emotion of the moment, don't you?
You're fucking right, so I do. I do kiss him. Yeah. And it lasts right through the next verse and chorus, right? It's saliva. Still, to be honest with you, tasted the stuffing with a little bit of sherry.
No wrong with that.
Best Christmas present I could ever wish for, Andy.
What, even better than a tip maintenance kit?
Andy, I've got to ask, although you don't never go along with it, did you think that story was a bit like the film Oliver with Mark Lester?
No.
All right, fair enough. I'll do an alderman, and I'll announce as I do it, this is the last ever alderman, yeah? not doing him anymore. It's too private. Really.
I'm laughing at doing him.
So I went up to Stockton to see the alderman just after Christmas. He was having a garden party at his house, right? He's got a nice house, Edwardian thing, but for the Dozy kids and the parents, you know.
Big garden.
It's a lovely garden, yeah.
Secluded areas?
There is. It's detached.
Yeah.
But you can at the back you can see a few houses, a few other houses.
So I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
We got Billy the Pigeon in, do some magic, yeah. Biffy Clyro did some face painting,
yeah.
And then offered to do some of the kids' faces as well, yeah. The Vicar with the Twitch and the Bad Breath, he did some storytelling,
right.
Something about a biscuit that had a penis or something.
Oh.
Weird story, mm-hmm. Innit, for the kids, but they enjoyed it. The town clerk did a daft dance and gave a kicking display, you know, like a how to kick display. Anyway, halfway through this farce, the alderman came up to me and he said, "Robert, I've got something to show you, Robert. Come with me, Robert." I thought, "Hey, up, might get lucky here, Andy."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he takes me outside, points to a great big polythene tunnel, you know, like polythene tunnels.
A polytunnel, they call it.
Yeah, but this is
big man-sized.
Massive tunnel. And he's put up in his garden. He says, "What do you think, Robert?" I said, "It's very nice, alderman. I mean, I'm no expert, but it looks like a good one, solid. It's really tunnel it, you know, a bit like E.T. or something like that."
Yeah.
"Just wait there, Robert. Wait till I beckon you, Robert."
Oh.
So he disappears.
Protocol.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll wait. So I hang around for about 5 minutes. A couple of kids wandered out at one point. I told them to fuck off. Do you know what I mean? He sussed me out there, me and the alderman. I said, "Fuck off, will you?" And then I hear, "Robert! Come inside now, Robert." So I get inside and I look through. There's a first area, and then it's got one of those curtains that you might have on Silent Witness or something.
Yeah.
You know, like the strips of...
Yeah.
A bit, they used to have been council houses
forensic
when I was young.
Curtains.
But they were all brightly coloured.
Yeah.
Now they're thicker. Let's call them forensic curtains. Thank you.
I've got an album by them.
For the forensic curtains,
yeah.
And I look through it and there's row upon row of these plants with quite a long fruit growing.
Right.
Red fruit.
Yeah.
But long, like a courgette or cucumber or something like that.
For the listeners, Bob's holding his hands apart at a long distance.
And he says, "These are my little secret, Robert. Robert, they are genetically engineered cross between a cucumber and a tomato, Robert. I call them cumbatos." Robert,
I sneaked the seeds back from Estonia, Robert, when I was at the Apricot Festival a few years back, Robert. Then I noticed he's wearing, you know, those paper boiler suits like you get if you're in custody, mm-hmm. with the police and that. And he hands one to me. He says, "Here, Robert, put this on, Robert. The humidity in here is terrifying. I don't want you to pass out, Robert." Well, it was fucking hot, so I stripped down to my undies, held out my hand for the boiler suit. He says, "No, Robert, remove your briefs. I don't want my cumbertoes contaminated with Todd dust." So I took them off really slow, you know, to make sure they didn't close like a flurry of dust. Yeah. And I put the suit on. Well, fuck, God, it was hot in there. And you could feel the suit, like, clinging to your skin. Yeah. And the alderman tells me to pluck a cumbertoe, give it a try. This cross between a cucumber and tomato. So just as I'm picking it, I see these faces pressed up against the outside of the tunnel. They look a bit scary, a bit distorted because of all the condensation, but I can make out the town clerk,
right.
And I can make out Biffy because some ink's dripping off his face in the condensation and that. Then it starts up, a bit muffled at first. "Kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, or just the alderman," to a crescendo. I think, well, and why not? I'm only human, aren't I?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Who wouldn't?
So I turn towards him and I see that his suit, his paper suit, is really drenched. It's more or less transparent. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can see all, like, the swirls of hair on his pot belly. Yeah, and all the hair on his shoulders is all swirled and sticking to
clinging to the inside of the paper suit.
Yeah,
Jesus.
And there's a little rippers formed in his chest, and through that you can see the scar where he had his lungs seen to. You know what I mean? And he's covering his modesty because it's all see through with one of the cumbertoes, you know, which is nice of him. Cause I don't want to be involved with that. So he grabs me around my waist and he rips my suit as he does so, and he starts licking at my cheek. Do you know, like a bit like a spiral motion?
Yeah.
Like a snake, he sort of just in circles.
It nice.
It was really rambunctious. It was really captivating. And then, bang, he clamps onto my mouth like a whelk. And I'm transported to Leeds, do you know what I mean? Or somewhere like Leeds. Somewhere incredibly romantic anyway.
Somewhere like Leeds.
Yeah, Northampton. Somewhere like that, a really romantic place. Then too quickly it's over and I'm hustled out of the tunnel. And as I'm getting dressed, Andy, I notice that the alderman's crying.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bothered by his crying.
Do you know why he was crying?
No, but it struck me as unusual.
It is a bit.
Yeah. So I'm afraid that's where we'll have to leave the alderman crying in his polytunnel.
It's kind of how I thought it would end up, really, from the very beginning.
Did you think, Andy, that that story was a bit like the film E.T., you know, with the tunnel and the paper suits?
Barely believable.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I was staying at a hotel near Stockton. I was up there opening a little, I think it was a playout for the daft kids, you know, with their half-baked, flaky parents, you know, can't, like, get it together. I had nothing to do till the evening, so I was in quite a nice hotel. I went down to the basement pool. So that's nice, isn't it, Andy?
Yes.
I'm having a basement pool.
Did you go in the pool?
Yes, so I went in the pool. There was no one in there when I went down there. just that lovely smell, and it was quiet. Then I saw in the shallow end, stood up was Biffy Clyro, and he was like drawing on his face. He was drawing waves, so I thought, that's nice, he's got a nice theme.
You shouldn't be allowed to take a pen in the shallow end.
Yeah. Oh, well, I wasn't going to say
Biffy
it, was
Clyro, though,
Biffy
you
Clyro,
know,
isn't it?
A rock star.
So I did a few wits, yeah, doing me paddle because of me bad shoulder that you haven't asked about. Yeah, you're not.
No, I'll ask about it now. I'll edit in earlier on. How's your shoulder, Bob?
Shoulder's not great. I wish I'd never had it done.
Dear me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. If I've got any tablets, I'll give you some tablets.
Yeah. What general tablets?
Yeah.
Do you know when I was a kid, you used to go to the doctors? Do you remember that? You got to the doctor and used to give you Linctus.
No, here we are. Got some tablets. They've got a bit of cotton wool in the top.
Yeah. Also, they're important tablets.
Yeah.
Did you get them on the internet?
Yeah.
Are they to help you get a rise on?
The blue.
Haven't you got any?
Just have 10 of them.
Haven't you got any tablets that would dissolve your tit fat?
I'm trying to help you.
I think you can get such a thing.
I'm trying to cure you.
I think you get the shits if you have them, but because the fat.
Just have 10 of them.
Anyway, Biffy Clyro, I did a couple of lengths.
I'll edit that bit in the beginning about your shoulder and make it sound like I give a fuck.
All right, if you would.
Right, carry on with the story.
It puts you in a better light, don't it? I know you couldn't give a fuck.
Do the story.
Anyway, I'm halfway across one of my wits and I feel like a little tug on my trunks. Then another little tug. And then I grab my trunks to keep them up, but of course that means I put both arms down. I start to sink a bit. And as soon as I let go, there's another little tug. And before you know it, my trunks are off, yeah? So I quickly swim to the deep end, you know, just to, like, get me act together kind of thing. And then, but I look up and notice the pool's completely empty. No one there. Nobody there. Hello. Hey, already, Andy, this is a little bit like that movie Cocoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, do you know what I mean?
I'm wondering where it's going. Yeah.
Well, I think, look, I've got nothing on. I'd better get out of here quick before a lady comes in. You know what I mean? So I sprint into the changing rooms. Thank God they're empty. I open me locker, right? And shit, my clothes have gone. So that's not very nice, is it, Andy?
No.
Then I hear a very familiar voice.
You lost something, Robert. You're looking a bit of a pickle, Robert, don't you, Robert?
It's the alderman stood there with a towel round his middle. He's just come out of the shower. It's interesting, Andy, because his shoulder hair is all stood up on end, yeah?
Yeah.
And in the back, it's surrounded by the steam in the background from the shower.
Yeah.
On his massive back. And you know what I thought? It looked to me a bit like the aftermath of a Greek forest fire. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I cover up, or first, I should say, I cover up my privates with my thumb, yeah?
Yeah.
I said, yes, some jokers nicked me trunks in the pool and me clothes have been nicked from me locker.
Oh, dear, Robert, you are in a bind, Robert.
Then I see he's got an apricot in his hand, yeah?
Ooh.
He says, here, take this apricot, Robert, to help you cover up. I can still see the edge of your foreskin, Robert.
So he throws it and I catch it and I use the apricot in conjunction with me thumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cover the area in its entirety.
Area.
Yeah.
Suddenly the aircon gets turned on. I begin to shiver a bit, you know, it gets cold.
Oh, dear, Robert, you're shivering like a little baby seagull, Robert, that slipped down the roof tiles into a frozen downpipe, Robert. Here, take my towel, Robert.
He throws me his towel and he just stands there nude, right? And Andy, he's got a huge circular bush.
Jesus.
No, massive. About bigger than the opening of a bucket. Big circle of pubes, yeah? And you know, it looks like he sat on the shoulders of that little bloke from Diversity. I didn't know where to look, Andy. Anyway, then I see the town clerk, the vicar and Biffy come round from behind the lockers. Town clerk's got me closed. They start to chant, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman. Well, Andy, I have never kissed him naked.
It's the first time for everything,
yeah,
Bob.
So I don't mind telling you, I didn't hesitate at all, to be honest.
You like trying new things, don't you?
So I didn't want to look like a slag, but I was right up for it. So he just sucked, like, my lips onto his, and then he seemed to sort of count each of my teeth individually with his tongue, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't help it. I grabbed hold of his bush and like a twisted handful of it and it came out of my fist. And then we just slipped apart as my mouth filled with his spittles and we just sort of slipped apart.
Yeah.
And it was over.
Beautiful.
Clark gave me my clothes back. And I have to say, Andy, I'll tell you the truth. I kept that handful of hair from the alderman's bush. I wove it into a little broomstick. yeah. And I've hung it from the rear mirror in my car.
So oh, well, I hope that brings you memory. Look. I hope that brings you luck while you're driving.
Thank you, Andy. Hey, been a while, Andrew, since I told you about the alderman.
It's been a long time. I assumed he was dead.
Would you like to hear or something?
I'd love to.
Well, last bank holiday was the annual camping trip for the daft lads.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who can't do out but fanny about yep. and that, right? They're generally fanny about round the back of the shops, the ones up north in Stockton.
Yeah.
Or near the
precinct.
Yeah, no, they tend to be around the back of the shops or near the garages, you know, the row of garages.
Yeah.
They tend to...
You fanny about on the roofs, can't you?
They love fannying about on the roofs. Yeah. Anyway, he runs an outdoor pursuit centre. It's just outside Hexham and they go there every now and then. So I went up to help out. So I'm in the minibus with the alderman on the way to Hexham to pick up some blue drinks, chicken dippers and Oreo biscuits for the daft kids, you know? And so the alderman says, "So, Robert... How is showbiz treating you, Robert?" I say, "It's all right, Bill. I'm doing a new show with Paul Whitehouse where I play a wanker." And he says, "That's perfect casting, Robert. Only joking, Robert. That Paul Whitehouse, Robert, I bet he's got a nice tight arse. Would you say so, Robert?" I said, "Oh, I don't really know, Bill. He keeps himself fit, Paul, so, yeah, probably..."
You've never looked at Paul Whitehouse's ass?
Well, I have, and I think it's probably pretty tight, actually, to be honest, and I told the old man that. He says, "Generally speaking, Robert, does he prefer a slack or a jean, Robert?" I said, "Oh, well, I've thought back. I think he likes a chino, actually, Bill. Slim fit, quite short on the leg, I've always noticed, and he pulls them really quite high up into his crotch."
It's quite a betrayal of his working class roots, that, isn't it?
That's what he does.
Let's not judge him.
So, I mean, chinos aren't expensive now, and they are comfortable for the older
guy. But they give
us
a message, don't they?
Well, at this point, I mean, as mentioned, they've been pulled into the crotch. The alderman suddenly pulls into a lay-by, almost slamming the brakes on, you know.
Yeah.
"Get out, Robert. Get out of the car, Robert. Do it now, Robert."
So I get out, and obviously, and he joins me. He says, "Show me, Robert. Show me how he wears them, Robert. Stand by that litter bin and show me, Robert." So I pull my jeans up tight into my crotch and stand there by the litter bin with my arse facing the alderman.
Uh-huh.
He says,
"Hoist your jacket up, Robert. Put one hand on the rim of the bin and turn your head around to face me, Robert."
So I do as I told, like, and he takes out his phone. He says,
"Right, turn your head round, Robert, and look over your shoulder, Robert."
So that's what I do. He says,
"Now, sir, suits you, sir. Does my bum look big in this? And today I shall mostly be hoisting my chinos up high, Robert."
So that's what I do. He takes his snaps and we get back in the van.
Okay.
And old one, don't say another fucking word, Andy. So it's a bit unusual, isn't it? So we're at the outdoor...
Well, that's not it. There's more.
No. So we're at this place in Hexham, there's like huts and there's like a big swimming pool where you have to do a safety course for canoeing before they allow you onto the river. Yeah? So but basically what you do, you get in your wetsuit. We all get in the wetsuits. And then you got to get in the canoe and do that roll.
Yeah.
And show that you're capable of doing that. First in is Biffy Clyro, right?
Right.
Now, he's been drawn all over his wetsuit with a silver marker pen.
Right.
And
right.
It's just interesting. What the things he's written ardent, yeah? Lemon curd.
Right.
Nout matters. And Placingo Domingo.
This sounds like a set list. Well, that's some new EPs are coming out.
Did you see them at Glastonbury?
Nah.
Oh, shit, they were good, man.
Were they?
Anyway, he gets in, turns around like a freaking salmon, and we all, be honest.
Yeah.
Well done, Biffy. Nice one, Biffy.
Before.
Next up's me, right? But just as I'm going to get into the pool, the town clerk gives me a little tap on my arse. A little tap. Alderman grabs his wrist, right?
"Matthew, what do you think you're doing, Matthew? How dare you touch Robert on his apricot, Matthew?"
So he apologises. I get in. I struggle a bit, but I manage to right myself and climb back out.
Yeah.
And the vicar is then just about to get in, and the alderman stops him. He says,
"I'll go in next if you don't mind, Colin."
In gets the alderman, big fucking splash, yeah? But before he reaches the canoe, he starts sinking a bit, and his arms flailing. He's in trouble. So just without thinking, not that I'm brave or anything, but I jumped in, grabbed him by his waist, and I dragged him to the side with his hands tightly holding on. He was on just near my ass. That's the Andy. He was just grabbing me. Then, fuck, this is awful, Andy. I don't even know what I should be saying this. Then suddenly his grip just releases.
That's not awful.
Well, yeah, and he's just drowning, you know. He's like gone stiff, you know, like. No, all right, Andrew. The others get, a few more others get in. We drag him to the side of the pool.
Right.
And I unzip the front of his suit, and his chest's all covered with like lard. He sort of render, you know, for warmth and that.
Yeah.
And I can't hear a heartbeat as I rest my head on his chest. So I spit out a few long lardy hairs that have got caught in me out in me mouth. CPR, I shout. He needs CPR. CPR, whispers the alderman. I need CPR. I ask Biffy to help, but he's just scribbling on his face. He's fucking doing, he's
panic.
No good.
Panic mode.
And I hear the alderman whispering again, so I put my ear next to his. Robert, you do it, Robert. I'll pull my wetsuit up into your crotch. And you say, suits you, sir, after every kiss. So I just get on with it. It's just, to be honest with you,
it's a man's life. It's just a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, one big bonus snog after another.
Yeah.
Goes on for ages. And I start thinking, you know what? There's nothing wrong with him. Why am I doing it? But I didn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, town clerk, furious, by the way. Suddenly, the alderman pushed me off and he gets up and he says, well, you lot, that was just a simulation to see who would step up. And just as I thought, it was Robert. Brave Robert. As a reward, Robert can share the honeymoon suite with me in the hotel. The rest of you are in your tents. So, did you think that story was a bit like a film?
I thought it was a lot more like a play.
Like a little play?
Yeah.
Do you think it would, if I made it into a short film, it would win Cannes Films or the, what is it? Doesn't one of the actors, like the Steve McQueen Festival or something? Golden
Nuggets.
Or whatever. Yeah, Did you think it felt like, it felt like a play or something?
I think they would have put it on Channel 4 at about 11:30 at night in 1984.
Not bad though, is it?
They wouldn't put it on now.
I'm pretty happy with that, Andrew.
They sort of beat off and all that stuff now. But, yeah. You know, back then.
Hey, I've seen the alderman, you know, Andrew.
Oh, aye.
You want to hear about it?
That was a comfortable segue.
Well,
smooth.
I mean, in the light of that Zlatan nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit wary of my stories because, you know, it's getting a bit 18 certificate.
Is this going to, our anus is going to feature heavily in this one as well?
No, not that, not that, not that. Although there is a South African coming up. Well, he emailed me and he asked me to go to Stockton for a charity auction. He's always doing that, you know. He was raising money for the Daft Kids. It was mainly, he was trying to buy something like a soft maze.
Right.
Like a safe, I don't understand it, Andy. A safe maze, so they could wander about in, right, and safely practice their spitting, you know? So I think, well, it must be something that's needed. And it was at this posh hotel in Eaglescliff, like a big old sort of manor house.
It's a contradiction in terms.
No, Eaglescliff's quite nice, Andy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've been through the train station and I wouldn't get off.
Is that where?
I wouldn't get off.
You might be missing out there. It's a nice neck of the woods. It's like, and it's an old manor house. It's called the Green Man, so-called, because reputedly it was haunted by a ghost or something. Right. He was a specialist one. His knackers. This ghost is knackered, really sagged, like about a foot and a half.
Oh!
About a foot and a half. And he could swing them round, apparently, like, you know, like a Chinese weapon.
Yeah.
Kind of, anyway, that's just it. But, so I get there sundown, about 7 p.m. Alderman's minibus is there, parked up, town clerk's Jag's there, Biffy Claro's camper van. So once I'm inside, I get in there, think I'm going to see everyone, and I just can't see anyone at all. Ring the bell at reception, no one comes.
Yeah.
Right? So I hear a little noise down the corridor, like talking just off reception. So I walk down there and I come to the door and I could hear like low voices, chitter chattle, Andy, you know? So I knocked, no response.
Yeah.
So I just politely and slowly opened the door and there was no one in there. Someone just left the radio on, right?
Shit.
That's all it was. So I turned it off. And in the silence, I could hear, like, sort of footsteps on the ceiling above me.
Right.
Well, it sounded, footsteps or something being moved. So I went up the rear staircase and walked along the hall to the room I thought was above the radio room, right?
Uh-huh.
Are you okay if I call that the radio room, Andy?
I'm not entirely comfortable with it. It's all right, yeah. I can adapt to it.
And I knocked on the door. No reply again. So again, politely, I slowly walk in and I saw a wardrobe door just closing, corner of my eye. I think someone's having a laugh at you. probably Biffy or whatever. But so I walk over and open the wardrobe door. Nothing in there. I look down, though. The only thing in there is a Scotch egg and next to it a dish of hot sauce. So that's nice, isn't it, Andy, to see in the bottom of the wardrobe?
Yeah. Tantalising.
Then the radio goes back on in the radio room. Yeah. But it's louder this time, so I run back down the stairs. But someone, and they definitely, because it wasn't there on the way up, someone has put a slippy magazine. You know, magazines can be slippy.
Is that a euphemism for a dirty magazine?
No, you know, like just it could be okay, although, you know, they're very slippy.
Oh, not like Bongo Mag or Rhythm Magazine.
No, that's you. That's come into your mind.
I thought
mind,
it might have been one of them colloquialisms.
So I go arse over knockers straight down the bottom.
Slippy magazine.
Yeah. Right. Next thing I know, I open my eyes and staring down at me, leering above me, it's the town clerk. He puts his mouth to my ear and he whispers, "About time you took a fall, Robert."
Ooh.
Then I feel this scratching, like scratching on my bare chest. Yeah, bare chest. I look down, it's Biffy Clyro, and he's drawn the words failure and yurt, right? And he's doing a sketch of a lorry approaching Walsall. Right. On my chest, right? I'm just,
How did that manifest itself? How did you see that the lorry was approaching?
Oh, he's a clever bloke, Biffy.
Was it a map?
No, it had the town sign.
The lorry was coming.
And the lorry was approaching it. Tells a lovely story, like that.
Yeah. Kind of a Rolf. No.
What's happening? I think to myself, I think I fell down some stairs. "Yes, you did, and sadly so did your fat friend," says the town clerk. I turn my head and I see that in the twin bed next to me is the alderman, right? Biffy's drawn a helicopter on his chest approaching Peterborough.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and he's been stripped down to his underpants as well. The alderman sees me. "Robert, is that you, Robert? I fell down the stairs, Robert. I can hardly move, Robert." Clark says, "Looks like I'll have to present the auction and pose for the photographs. It's such a shame." He don't mean that, does he, Andy? He's being sarcastic, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so.
He definitely is. And he picks up our clothes and he leaves the room with Biffy, right? So the alderman says, "What a bastard that Terry is, Robert. He's a rum cove, Robert. Brimming with shit, Robert. We've got to stop him, Robert." Well, I get out of bed, but my knee nearly buckles. It's really painful, so I can only, hop over to his bed.
Yeah.
Andrew, can I stop at this point?
Why do you need to stop, Bob?
I was just wondering, anything you think's going to happen? What are you sensing anything from the story? Or
There's a lot of clues that I think you've laid.
Yeah.
But at the minute, they don't make a lot of sense. It's a bit like one of them questions on 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Where it sounds like, up to now, the story sounds like utter gibberish.
Are you focusing, is your mind, something scratching away at the back of your mind about that hot sauce?
No.
No? Okay.
Radio room. I thought
you
flagged that up.
Okay, well, let's find out.
Okay, carry on.
So Alderman says, "It's my left hip that hurts, Robert. Robert. Massage it, Robert. Use deep aggressive strokes, Robert, as if tenderising a haunch of mutton." So I start working on his hip, long, like hard strokes. So I go under his belly flap, right? Mm-hmm. Then round to his hip bone, just slightly under the waist of his undies. Right? Yeah. "Come on, Robert. You need to get lower, Robert. Take me undies off so they are not a factor, Robert." So I hop round to the end of the bed and I pull his undies off and throw them out of the window for the cats, yeah?
Shit.
As I do this, is... sack is like unleashed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And his balls drop down to like just his knees, basically.
Right.
To his knees. And
are the balls big?
They're.
I'm trying to paint a picture here in my imagination. Obviously, I know there's a lot of hang.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know, are they engorged?
A couple of eggs.
Who?
Couple of eggs.
A couple of eggs. Yeah. So standard testicles. But just in a very loose
look, right down by his
baggage.
Knees, yeah.
Right.
You can see I'm surprised. Yeah. You would be, wouldn't you, Andrew? "Don't panic because of me long sack, Robert. They got caught in a slit on a trampoline when I was off me tits on Spice in Malaga, Robert." So that's out of the blue, isn't it?
I wasn't expecting that.
So he's obviously gone through the slit. He's jumped.
Yeah.
Anyways, up. I keep working on his hip and it seems to work. And the alderman is able to get up and walk. A bit of a limp, like Andy, obviously, with his hip. "Look, Robert, Biffy has left his marker pens. Cully me in so I don't look naked, Robert." So it's not a bad idea because they've took his clothes. So I could paint his flesh with the marker pen. He won't allow me to colour in his you know, downstairs, no. Says it would be inappropriate. So he just holds them in his hands in front of him, you know, to keep him safe from his knees. So we make our way down to the radio room where we can hear Biffy and the town clerk laughing and giggling and that, you know.
Right.
Well, the alderman bursts in, bollocks in his hand, and they scream in horror. The vicar was there as well. He faints, right? And Biffy and the town clerk run out of the room with the clerk shouting, "It's the Green Man and his terrifying knackers." And, you know, Andy, it's right. It must have looked like him because I had used green marker pens.
Right.
And, of course, he's reputed to haunt the... The play is the Green Man.
The Green Man.
So they've,
Eagles
that's
Cliff.
What, yeah, that's what they've thought.
Shit.
So we laugh and have a cheeky hug, you know, because we're so chuffed. And when we hug, I can feel his balls, actually, on my thighs. And do you know what, Andy? I could swear that they're rotating internally at quite a fast speed. So we clean up with Belinda Wipes, get dressed. The auction's a great success. But next day, the local paper is full of pictures of the town clerk retelling the story of his encounter with the Green Man. So, you know, he got what he wanted, really, the town clerk, is the truth of it.
Yeah.
He's got his face and all the newspapers.
He's very devious, isn't he?
Yeah. Did you think that that story was a little bit like The Mask, you know, with Jim Carrey, that film?
Not really. It felt a little bit like an episode of Inside Number 9.
Oh, right.
But a little bit funnier.
A little bit.
The average one.
Well, all right.
But, it was all right, I suppose.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.